Amen. If I look smarter tonight, it's because of that seminar. And I ought to look real smart. Amen. Praise God. Some of you look smarter. Amen. I can tell who was at the seminar because you look smart. You know, it was good. It was tremendous. I'm so very thankful for that ministry that Brother Groman does. It's different, but it's needful. Everybody needs to hear what he's got to say. We're not through with that subject. You're going to hear some more of it later. I'm not Brother Groman, but I got something burning on the inside to tell you about it. Amen. And so we'll be hearing more, but I appreciate that. Those of you that were here every night, I really appreciate your supporting this meeting. Amen. And being here with your time, your attention, your finances. Thank you so very much. I do so want to say a great thank you also to all of those who helped us Friday with food for Donnie Corbett's family. Thank you much for the food, for the donations, for the help. I appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. And then the banquet, I want to mention that again. Join us next Saturday night. We're going to have a wonderful time. Brother Michael Vincent will be here. He was here with us, remember, just a couple of months ago, and we had a great time. Amen. He's going to be doing some entertainment this time. Amen. So we'll have a great time. You'll want to be here for that. And we always have good food. Old West is going to be cooking. Amen. And they do a good job. I went there this afternoon, and it was still good. Amen. And then one other thing tonight. We have had a numerous request for, don't worry, I'm not singing, for peanut brittle. Amen. Well, I might, you never know. But for peanut brittle, would it be possible tomorrow night at about 6 o'clock for us to make peanut brittle? I don't know who all can be here. We need some show of hands. People can help. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so if you can be here to help us, we're going to try to do that about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. And we've already got some orders. This is a great time to do that. While people have a sweet tooth. You know, when it gets January, you know what the number one New Year's resolution is, don't you? Number one. And it's been number one every year. I've made it. And you can see how much good it's done me. Well, maybe it has. Maybe I'd be twice this big if I hadn't tried. At least I haven't given up, huh? Amen. But the Bible does say the fat is the Lord's. So some of us He loves more generously. Find your comfort where you can find it. Just take it where you can find it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got two or three sermons tonight, and which one to preach? Amen. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here tonight, this service. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good in me. We were at the funeral service on Friday for Donnie Corbett, and I saw some people that were horribly in the grip of grief. They could barely control their physical bodies because of the grief they were feeling. And we started praying. You can see that on the platform.
Yeah.
And when the twins got up and they did their song, I know that was hard, but I'm telling you, it ushered in the presence of the Lord.
It did, yeah.
I literally watched people that could barely control their physical movements. They were twitching because of the pressure and the stress they were under. And I watched their features relax and composure come upon them just from the presence of the Lord that just came and filled that place. Amen. It's good when Jesus does that. I'm so glad I know Him tonight. I would not want to live without the Lord. I would not know what to do if it were not for Him. Amen. I am so 100% dependent upon the Lord. Amen. I can do nothing without Him. Amen. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings tonight. In the 6th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 5. And one said, "Be content, I pray thee." I'm sorry, verse 5. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither." Are you ready for this? "And the iron did swim." You ever seen that? Yeah, man. "Therefore," he said, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the power is in the head. The power is in the head. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. This is an unusual story. Just to find this just placed in Scripture in this particular place, it just sometimes it just almost doesn't seem like it fits. And yet it does. It has for us tonight a tremendous lesson for all of us here tonight. I want us to go back to the beginning of the story. It is a story about a Bible school, if you will. A school of the prophets. There were men that yearned for ministry, called to ministry. And they would separate themselves unto the prophet. And in this case, Elisha. And they would learn everything that they could from him. Thank God we have a Bible school here. Amen. I would that more people would avail themselves of the Bible school. It bothers me just a little bit, honestly, that there's not more there. Amen. But we're going to give and fill every vessel that comes. Amen. But these men, they have this yearning. They have this desire to be used of God. And so they took their time and they spent their time in the school of the prophets. Well, the response apparently was pretty good because they outgrew the facility. They didn't have any more room. That's a wonderful problem, isn't it? I believe we're going to have that problem one of these days, and it won't be long. Amen. We're going to run out of room. And then I love their plan. This is their plan. Verse number 2, they said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam." Now, I like that. I like that solution. They said, "Let everybody get involved. Everybody get involved. Everybody get involved." He said, "Let every man take a beam." You know how to make easy work of a big job when everybody gets involved. David faced a project that was way too big for him. So he said, "Come, let us exalt his name together." He got to looking at the Lord and he said, "Wow, I can't praise him enough. I don't have the volume. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. But if I can get everybody to praise the Lord, we can get the job done." It's a wonderful thing when one praises the Lord, but it's such a greater thing when everybody praises the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when Brother Ferguson comes to prayer meeting. But it's a marvelous thing when everybody comes to prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful thing when everybody gets involved. That's the spirit of revival. Praise God. You see, boy, they were having revival, I'm telling you. Because everybody was involved. Hallelujah. And here's something else I think is vital and important. It says in the third verse, but one said to the prophet, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." It's important tonight that we value leadership and that we follow leadership. I'm not up here to crow. I didn't ask for this job, but the Lord gave it to me. And I'm very thankful. And I take it very seriously. I understand tonight that I am merely an under-shepherd and that He is the great shepherd. And I understand tonight that I am accountable to Him for the things that I say and the things that I do. I understand that tonight. I will never ask you to do something that I have not already done and am not involved in and not willing to step up right beside you and put my shoulder beside your shoulder and help you to carry the same ministry and the same load. I will never ask you to give an offering that I'm not willing to give an offering in. I will never ask you for a sacrifice that I am not willing to make myself. Amen. Praise God. But you see, there has to be unity. One of the ways that Satan gets his work done in the church is he comes in and he divides loyalties. And he confuses people. You know, I've told you before, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure it was the will of God for me to marry the person I'm married to." Well, if you married them, it is now. I don't know if it was before or not, but once you made a vow before God and you said, "I do," then it became the will of God. Amen. And I'm going to make a bold statement here tonight. I'm hearing the will of God. I don't know if it was the will. I believe it was. But when we elected and you said, "Would you serve?" And I said, "I will," it became the will of God. And I'm going to say tonight that you interfere with the work of God when you talk against your leadership. Whoever that man is, or whoever that woman is, and you've got to just say tonight, a lot of times people won't talk about the preacher, but they'll talk about his wife. Do you know why the devil gets to you and me? It's not because we're so special, other than we're the bride of Christ. And he can't get to Christ, so he picks on his wife. And he picks on his bride. And if you pick on the pastor's wife, I'm telling you what spirit you're of. You're of that same cowardly spirit that Satan is of. Thank you, Brother Martin. Amen. Let's let that simmer a little bit. Let that soak in. Shake your head like this here. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I don't have that gun in there, but yeah. And it needed saying. Because some people are going to get in trouble with God if things are not going well for you right now, you might want to check your attitude toward leadership. Let me say that one more time. If things are not going well in your life, you might want to check your attitude toward leadership. God will not bless a spirit of schism and division in the body. As a matter of fact, one of the things in the book of Proverbs, God said He hates. He said it's an abomination. He said it makes Him sick to His stomach when people cause division in the body of Christ. You want to get on God's bad list in a hurry, that's all you got to do, is start causing division in the body. Praise the Lord. Now, let's everybody shout. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to get anointed again here in just a minute. I just had to say that. Praise the Lord. Now, if you've anybody ever held an axe, you know what an axe looks like? Anybody ever used an axe? That's work. It's genuine work. Now, of course, we've got chainsaws. Whoom, whoom. And boy, that's so much better. But it's work. Amen. But it's easier than an axe. But an axe is the instrument that was used from ancient times to build almost all structures that were built of wood. And an axe was involved. So until just the last very recent years, everybody used an axe. Everybody. Some of you chopped firewood at your house. And you, some of you may still do that. But you use an axe to do that. Now there are three very important things involved in using an axe. First of all, you've got to have somebody to swing the axe. If you don't have somebody to swing, it's not going to do any good. And the second thing you need on that axe is a handle. You ever tried to use an axe without a handle? It'll work, but slow. It's a real slow process if you don't have a handle in that axe. And then the third thing that is vital to have a good axe is for that handle to have a head on it. As a matter of fact, the head is indispensable. Can you imagine a bunch of workmen going into the woods with handles on their shoulder? They're going to come back with bruised hands and weary bodies and a bunch of wounded trees. But very little is going to be accomplished outside of that. There'll be a lot of noise. And sometimes in church, if we're not careful, we'll have a lot of noise, but not much gets done. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We talked about it this morning. What really matters, and I like for people to make noise. Church makes me nervous when it's quiet. Because I remember reading about the first church. It said, and it was noised abroad. And they saw those people, how they were acting. And they said, these men are drunk and it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Because they were acting funny. Now people sit there sleeping on the pew. Most folks don't accuse them of being drunk. But they were acting like you act around here sometimes. And they said, these people, they're under the influence. And they were. Peter did not deny it. He didn't say they're not drunk. He said they're not drunk as you suppose. They are under the influence. It's just not alcohol. It's the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the living God. He said, that's what's causing all of this. Amen. So you see, the head of the axe That's where all of the power is concentrated. When you get a hold of that handle and you take that axe back as far as you're willing to go, and then you put all the force of your body and your muscles and you bring that thing forward with everything that you've got, and then when that wedge of that head smacks into that wood, something takes place and a mighty gap is opened up, and then you rear back and you do it again, and you do that several times, and that tree is going to come down because you, but the power. Now you, if you use that same power and you just go out there and you rear back and you hit that tree just as hard as you can, you're going to suffer a lot more damage than the tree. And then if you get smart and you get the axe handle and you rear back and you smack it with the axe handle, your hands, whoa, 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 whoa. Woo! But then you get smart and you put a head on the axe. And that's when the work gets done. I'm telling you tonight, the axe head is indispensable. We cannot do without the axe head. We cannot do without the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst. I love music, but music will not take the place of the Holy Ghost. I love choirs and singers, but singing will not take the place of the Holy Ghost. I like preaching, but preaching will not take the place of the Holy Ghost. Nothing will take the place of God's Spirit and His power in our midst. That's the one essential in every service, is that God's Spirit and His power be given opportunity to operate as it pleases. You know, in the book of Psalms, you see a word called Selah. You ever notice that word in there? You know what that word means? It means pause. It's a rest. Now, really, Pentecostals are real familiar with that. Because sometimes, like tonight, we'll step up to this pulpit and we'll just pause. What are you doing? Waiting on the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to listen to the Spirit of God. I don't want to get ahead of Him. I don't want to get behind Him. That's a Selah. We understand that. It's vital. If you don't understand that, you just go through mechanics. But sometimes God gets left out of the picture. I know a preacher was preaching one time in Colombia, and he was preaching in English, of course. And he had an interpreter that was interpreting the sermon in Spanish so the people could understand him. And man, he was excited. He was preaching to a large bunch of people. There's probably 15,000 people there. And he was all excited, preaching to all those folks. And boy, it was the best sermon. He was preaching away. And all of a sudden, people got up and started streaming down to the altar and crying out to God. And he turns around and he said to the interpreter, the missionary, he said, "I'm not through." He said, "Well, you may not be, but they are." Amen. They had all they needed. And hey, when God steps in, it's time for me to just get out of the way. When the Lord wants to talk, it's time for us to fall silent and let Him speak. Because the power is in the head. And Jesus is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so the problem in the book here is that the axe head, the point of power, was lost. Now, let me just point out here, usually before you lose an axe head, it gets loose. It gets loose before it gets lost. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? I said it gets loose before it gets lost. Usually, before we lose the power, we lose our prayer. We stop praying. We stop worshiping. Amen. And things are getting loose in our life. And suddenly, attitudes spring up. And we excuse them instead of repent of them. And we're getting loose. And then little actions and things we did not do begin to creep into our lives. And we find ourselves doing things and excusing things that we would not have done before. But we're getting loose. And if it's getting loose in your life, you're getting ready to lose it. You better secure some things before it's lost. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, it's vital. We cannot afford to lose the power of the Holy Ghost. I know people accuse, I hear it myself. People accuse us and talk about, you don't have to do those things. You don't have to have all those holiness standards. That's not necessary anymore. Yes, it is. It's called separation from the world. And when you separate from the world unto Jesus Christ, that's where the power is. It doesn't mean that you can't still have a church. You can have church without Jesus. I can prove it. Revelation chapter 3. It was a Pentecostal, apostolic, one God, Jesus name, church in a city called Laodicea. And Jesus told us, He said, behold, I stand at the door on the outside and I'm knocking on the church. And if you'll open the door, I will come in. You can have church without Jesus. You can have church without the power of God. They had manufactured it. They could do it. As a matter of fact, their response to the Lord was, we are rich and increased with goods and we don't need anything. We don't even need Jesus. They had lost the power, but they didn't know it, or they didn't care. Some people are happy with just a form of religion. Now that sounds like Scripture to me. Did not the Scripture say that they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof? That's when we separate. That's when we still separate from the world. Somebody said you got to be like them to win them. Oh, win them to what? Win them to what? Jesus said, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said they hated me and they will hate you if you get too chummy with the world. and everybody loves you. It might just be a sign that you've lost the power. Folks, we've got to preserve the power. Yes, we do. Amen. We've got to do that. So that the axe head got loose and then he lost it. Now this, let me say, when you lose the power, it really is futile to go on until you get it back. You might as well shut everything down. We're not doing anything else until we find the exit. We're not going to pretend. We're not going to act like we still got heads on the axes and bang away at the trees. We're not going to sit around and polish our axe handles and talk about cutting and conditions and swinging techniques. What we're really interested in is the axe head getting the tree down, because we're trying to build something here. I said we're trying to build something here. We're trying to build something here. And that's got to be the main thing. Amen. We can't get our eyes. We're here to build a church, folks. We can't build it without the Holy Ghost. Now, we can build a congregation. We get enough names and enough talent and enough programs and enough entertainment. We could build a congregation. We get enough excitement going on. We get enough going on and we've got a miracle a minute or your money back. And boy, we got the spectacle going on and we're doing something new. We got like the circus around here. I mean, it's exciting. But without the power of God, you can build a congregation, but you won't build a church. Seems like I read it this way. Upon this rock, I will build. I will build my church. We're involved in it, but he does the building. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you know that Jesus still chooses the church? Amen. And that's why we got to be real careful. Because we'll overlook somebody. Because they don't look like we think they ought to look. And they don't smell like we think they ought to smell. And they don't act like we think they ought to act. A pastor was walking with a man in his church and he saw a man. And the Holy Ghost said, that man's going to be in your church real soon. And he told the man with him, he told him what the Lord had said. And the man said, that can't be, pastor. That's my uncle. He's the meanest man in town. But you know what? Now he's one of the most on fire apostolics in the city. Hallelujah. Praise God, because the Lord said, I choose you. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? Amen. Now, if the axe head's lost, no sense in going on without it. No sense in pretending, folks. I do not want to be a pretender. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just have church. I don't want to get down to 3 songs, 2 testimonies, an offering, a song service, a preaching a message, and go home. That's why we still have altars. Amen. Now you can have altars whether or not you have a bench or not. As long as you got a place to pray and a place to meet God, it's an altar. Amen. I look for the day when we won't have enough room maybe to even have these altar benches, because we need the room more than the symbol. Is that all right? Folks, let's don't confuse tradition with truth. Traditions are good. I like traditions. But let's don't get married to them. Let's don't think that just because it's always been done a certain way, that's the only way it can be done. All we need is the power of the Holy Ghost leading us. I read years ago a story. I didn't like it when I first read it. A farmer was standing or was walking through his field, and the city man stopped and got out of his car and looked out over the field. He said, "Man," he said, "you and the Lord have done a great job with this place." And the farmer said, "Yes, sir, but you should have seen it when the Lord had it by himself." And I thought, what an egotistical statement. But you know what? It's true. There are things that God can do, but He will not do by Himself. He said, "If you will, I will." Didn't Brother Neely preach that? He said, "If you will, I will. But if you don't, I won't." So the power of the Lord can do anything. But God will not do for us what He asked us to do for Him. Somebody made the point, you can buy the nicest boat in Athens. I mean the fanciest one, the biggest one, with the biggest motor, and the most beautiful one. And you can put it on the nicest trailer in town. And we can park it right out here in the front of the church. And put fishing poles along it. The best ones. I mean, the best stuff. The most expensive and elegant fishing equipment anywhere. And we could nail up a beautiful sign, have it professionally painted, and we could say, "Fish, welcome here." And you wouldn't catch one fish. If you want to fish, you got to go where they are. You got to get out there in the water, and you got to put something on that line that fish like. You might like strawberry shortcake, but fish may not like strawberry shortcake. You may love chocolate cake and coconut pie, and I do, and biscuits and gravy, and ha! But fish, that's not fish bait. You want some? You get some old stink bait. Whoop! Ah. Something that's gross and awful. You think, ugh. And you can just barely keep from gagging when you put it on the hook. But Mr. Catfish, whoo, he's looking for that. Huh? When we get to fishing, folks, we got to forget what we like. And you got to find something that they like. Just a little hook, just to get them in. And once they get exposed to the power of God, and the Lord says, "I'm building my church," and that's one of the bricks I'm going to use right there. The power of God. We can't go on without it. Now, the recovery process was this. The first thing that had to happen is that the workman had to say, he had to admit, "I lost it." You know, one of the saddest things about the story of Samson was when the Holy Ghost left, he didn't even know it. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord departed and he didn't even know it was gone. That makes me shudder to think that I could lose the Spirit of God and wouldn't even know that it was gone. It lets me know that you can learn how to go through the motions. You can sing the songs. You can do the right dance steps. You can say the right words. and you still may have lost it. And the first step to recovery is, I admit, I lost it. That's what the watchman or the workman did. He said, alas, master, I lost it. The first step to recovery of the power of God in your life is to cry out to the Lord, Jesus, I need a brand new touch. I've told you about the guy in the prayer room. He was so sincere praying, God, oh, fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. And somebody beside him said, don't do it, Jesus. He leaks. That's why you need filling. Because every one of us leaks. That's why you have to renew the Holy Ghost day by day. First thing you got to do is admit he lost it. And the second thing he acknowledged, he said, it was borrowed. In other words, it wasn't mine. Let me tell you something. You belong to the Holy Ghost. He owns you, but you don't own him. I said, you don't own him. He owns you. Amen. And he said, it's borrowed. It wasn't mine. I can't possess it. I can't just claim it and lock it away somewhere like a possession. I have to treat it with respect. Because it wasn't mine. It was borrowed. We have to acknowledge, Lord, you know, I don't own you, but you own me. I can't lock you away. I can't make you a prisoner in my heart. But I can give myself wholeheartedly to you. So we've got to admit that it's borrowed. And then the next thing he had to do, have you ever lost anything? And had some genius come up and say, where'd you lose it? Well, if I knew that, it wouldn't be lost. But that's exactly what we've got to do. You know what? If we lose the Holy Ghost, we really know where we lost it. Jesus said to the Ephesian church, and we often misquote this, he did not say you lost your first love. He said you left your first love. When you leave something, you know where you left it. Now, I have lost things, and I do know where I saw them the last time. And in the recovery process, that's the best place to look for it, is where you saw it last. In the case of this man, he knew where it was because he watched it fly into the water. But in that rolling water and in the muddy Jordan, he just sunk beneath the old muddy Jordan down into the murky bottom and he couldn't see it anymore. And the water's rolling. He don't know exactly where it is. He said, I know the last time I saw it was right about here. You gotta go back. Then that beautiful song Andre Crouch wrote years ago, take me back. Take me back to the place that I first received you. We know where we lost it. We know how to get it back. You go back to prayer. You go back to repentance. You go back to brokenness. You go back to the things of God and separation. That's what you do. You know that. So the workman says, I lost it right about here. And he knows just as well as we know. You cannot recover the axe head of the power without a miracle. It's going to take something more than I have. So he goes to the prophet. He says, it was last time I saw him was right about here. And Elisha goes over and he gets a stick, an old dry stick. And he goes over to the water. There's no power in that stick. It was just a stick. And he goes over to the water and he says, now where was it? He said, it's right about over there. And he takes that stick and he throws it into the water. And to the astonishment of the workmen, something began to get troubled. And that iron that was buried somewhere in the murky deeps of the river, something said, come up higher. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the Bible says the iron swam. Whew. I don't know about you, but I never saw iron swim. You put iron in some water, it's going to the bottom. It's heavy. But that old axe head, all of a sudden, it just swam up to the top. Hallelujah. I'd have been doing a backstroke for all I know. But here it comes right up to the surface of the water. And here's the interesting thing. The prophet didn't take it up. He turns around to the workman and he said, take it to yourself. Everybody say, to yourself. There's some things you got to get yourself. Your mama can't get it for you. Your daddy can't get it for you. Your pastor can't get it for you. The church can't get it for you. There's some things you got to get yourself. And so he said to him, he said, you take it up. I got a feeling he was excited about that. He bailed out there in that water. Man, he reached his hand out. He got a hold of that axe head. You talk about some rejoicing. And then if he was like some people today, he would have built a special, really special case for it. And he would have went around the whole country telling everybody about the axe head. But that's not what axe heads are for. It's not to make a spectacle out of it. You know what? The best thing to do with that axe head is to put it back on the handle and secure it real good. And then walk over to a tree. And say, I'm going to try this thing out. And then you rear back like you know how to do. Like you've done before. And you swing with all of your might. And you feel that thing bite into the tree. And there's some power going through that axe head. Amen. Praise God. We don't need to make it a spectacle, folks. We need to use it. I said we need to use it. We need to use it. Don't just talk about the Holy Ghost. Amen. But exhibit the Holy Ghost. Amen. Exercise the Holy Ghost. Use the power of the Holy Ghost. Put it to work. I think perhaps that's the greatest thing that we lack today in the church is putting it to work. Once we leave here, hey, on your job, somebody says, I'm not feeling well today. Very, not boastfully, not snidely, but very respectfully, to say, you know, I believe the Lord heals. Would you mind if I prayed with you? And you don't have to make a spectacle out of it. You just reach over, maybe get their hand, and just pray for them. And give the Holy Ghost an opportunity to work. I said give the Holy Ghost an opportunity to work. Amen. That's the head striking the base of the tree. Amen. You get an opportunity to tell somebody about the power of the Lord. What He's done in your life. Somebody said, I don't know what to say. Just tell what the Lord's done for you. That's the greatest thing you can tell people is just what He did for you. Most of them are not looking for some kind of a theological treatise. All they want to know is what the Lord has done for you. That's how we put it to work. That's how you get people here. More than just saying, would you come to church with me? Give the Holy Ghost a chance to work. While we were in Midland, there was a lady came to church, and she came in an unusual way. She had some real turmoil in her life. The guy that she had lived with for years, and stormy relationship, but finally he got mad and he said, I'm just leaving for good. And her world fell apart. And she was so distraught. Her friend came by and said, let me pray with you. So they went off somewhere and they prayed. And the lady started talking in tongues. And the peace of the Lord and the power of the Lord came into her life. And the next day at work, she found the lady that was praying with her, and she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I don't know what happened to me. I must have been out of my head. And the lady said, you don't know what happened? She said, no. She said, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She said, is that a good thing? She knew it felt good, but she didn't know what happened to her. She got the Holy Ghost without anybody even telling her what it was. All she knew was, I've got this void and this ache and this emptiness, and God help me. And somebody had an axe, and they laid it into the wood, and the power of contact. And that lady stepped into the spiritual realm that she didn't even know existed. Amen. That's just you letting the Holy Ghost use you. Praise God. In this congregation tonight, there might be somebody that years ago you used to do your lessons by lantern light, kerosene lamps. My sister, my older brother. Of course, they always say that I had it so easy growing up. They said, when we were kids, we did our lessons by lantern light. So what? So I had it easier. So I had it better. Amen. I can't help it if God saved the best till the last. And my brother would say, right. He'd say, after me, it kept getting worse. They got to you, they just quit. But, you know, that's not that long ago. My sister's just, I think, about 76. And she tells me, she said, we used to do our schoolwork by lantern light because we didn't have electricity in our house. I don't remember that, but that's not that long ago because she's still with us here. And then they come up with this thing called wind chargers. Now, we're still using them today, except they're a whole lot bigger. They had this motor that was turned by the wind. They were wind turbines. And the wind would turn that turbine, and it would create electricity. And there was a wire going into the house, and it would actually make a light if the wind was blowing. But if the wind wasn't blowing, no light. And then, behold, one day, some men were coming down the road, and they were digging holes, and they were putting these big poles down these holes. And then they started stringing these big wires between the poles. And they came to the house, and they strung a wire from the pole to the house. 66,000 volts of electricity was going down those big wires. And you know what? Everything that they could get to plug in worked. Lights worked. Fans worked. Refrigerators worked. And as long as you pay your electric bill, they still do. Amen. It's better than a wind charger. It's better than a lantern. Amen. When that power comes in. Hallelujah. And that's what I love about the Holy Ghost. That's why one lesson you need to learn early on is don't try to figure God out. And don't think that just because God answered a prayer for you, He's going to do it the same way every time. Amen. The power of God is sufficient, but He's a God of variety. And He loves to do things that delight His people. Amen. Praise God. We've got to have the power, folks. And the power is in the head. Amen. We've got to have that. We cannot lose it. We have to have it. You have to have it in your personal life as well as in the church. Anybody know about the power of the Lord is here? The power of the Lord is here. And it must be. We cannot do without it. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? It is here. It is here. It is here. And you can receive tonight whatever it is that you need. If you've lost it, admit it. Admit it. And go back to the last place that you found it. I think all of us know where to go tonight. Go back to that old altar. Go back to a place of repentance. God, I need you tonight. I sure do need you tonight. I'm miserable without you. I'm empty without you. My life really doesn't have much meaning without you. I really need you. I need to get everything right tonight. Amen. A knowledge and a memory is not enough. I need the power. Anybody want to recover some power here tonight? Anybody want to go back to a previous place where you were more powerful than God? You want to go back to that place of fellowship? You want to go back to that place where you felt peace? Enjoy. You felt clean. You felt righteous. Amen. You knew that your sins are under the blood. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on back. Let's find us a place. Let's find us a place. Let's watch some iron swim here tonight. Let's have some miraculous recoveries in this place. Come on. Come on. Please don't put it off. Why be miserable another day? Don't let the devil talk you out of it. You know what you need to do. Don't let the devil steal your power and hold you under his thumb and grind you down another day. Amen. Oh yes, that's it. Come on.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I
the power is still in the head.